Last week I talked about the process of splitting into two and its being a natural part of our life. This week I want to talk about the management of the splitting into two process, how we can come to better understand it, and how we can manage it to be able to use it to create exactly what we want to split into. If we're going to split, why not have that split take us to a place we actually want to go? If we can split into the person that we want to be and then continue splitting consistently in an organized fashion toward our ideals, we're going to be happier, we're going to be healthier, we're going to be more successful. The other aspect of splitting into has to do with stopping or ceasing a habit that we may have of negatively splitting into two. Instead of replicating that pattern of snapping into a particular persona just because we've done it for a real, real long time, if we can cease directing our energy in that direction, and if we can notice that, and we could recognize that that persona, if it's a negative, lower vibration person, is not going to be able to, and probably hasn't ever been able to, cause desirable effects. We're going to want to be able to move and manage ourselves away so we can choose another viewpoint and choose another persona that we can grow into. Succeeding at the achievement of goals, right? We all have goals. There's a whole lot of talk going on about goals. But in order to succeed at the achievement of goals, it requires that we can imagine the necessary split into two persona that the more successful us, I will say, the one that can achieve what it is we want to achieve, and then for us to deliver electrons to it. So this is the idea of premeditated growth. It can happen accidentally, but it makes more sense if we think it through and we make some decisions. Here's the first one. Decide on the image. What does this new person, the one we want to split into, the one who would naturally attain the goals that we've set for ourselves, we've got to decide on that image. The next thing we've got to do is we need to add energy to the image of that persona. So it conceptually exists, and now we're just going to add more energy to it. And here's what happens over time, is that image that we've created and us grow to occupy the same space, and we would define it as, hey, I've achieved my goals. So deciding on the image, adding energy to the image, and then growing the two, us and that image, so we occupy the same space. Deciding on the image that we desire to include in our being, that's a capital B, D for doing, and also having. So being, doing, and having. What we're going to want to do is think of these things as that's a natural part of this creation of the image. But it's the most important part. We are blueprinting, we're designing. This is the first phase of the creation, is to decide on what it is we want out of the split. To want to be a bodybuilder, but then if we only include images of us sitting on a couch, being a couch potato, and the only doing that we can imagine is limited to watching television and lounging, or even gorging ourselves on bonbons as we flip through channels, that's really not going to allow for the successful split into the persona of a bodybuilder. Not going to happen, because we're investing our energy into a different persona, probably a split that we're not all that thrilled with, but in fact, out of habit, we continue to do it. There are vibrations that we're going to want to include in our relationship with the split persona, right? So we've just conceptualized the image. We now have a relationship with it. That image, while it's not a solid structure, does exist, and we do have a relationship with it. So let me say it this way. If I have a goal to be, to do, or to have something, I am responsible for the vibrational creation of that structure, of that, of the person, of the version of Tom that can be and do and have whatever goal I had just aspired to. If I want to be an artist, it's my job to grow that artist into existence. If I want to be a baker, it's my job to grow that baker into existence. If I want to be an internet marketer, a photographer, a landscape designer, a novelist, it's my job to grow the photographer, the landscape designer, the novelist, or the internet marketer into existence. This process is not much different than a hobbyist, a gardening hobbyist who is thinking of doing this. Okay, I'm going to plant a seed in a little container in soil. I'm going to put that little pot or little container on the window sill in the kitchen so it can be warm and it'll have plenty of light. I'm going to add water as necessary until that seed germinates and takes root. Now, depending on the plant that I've planted, the seed, it may need to be repotted or it may need to be planted outside, so transplanted. This process is not that much different than a woman becoming pregnant. Automatically, energies are going to be added to that fertilized ovum, and the fetus will begin growing, right? Cell mitosis, I talked about that splitting process that is natural to us. That's going to happen over and over and over and over again. Besides the obvious nutrition being added by whatever the mother eats, and the vibrational connections and the feelings of safety or not, and other vibrations that is going to be added via the mother to that developing baby. Approximately 9 months later, the baby will be ready to come out of that confined space that has been growing in so that it can continue to develop in a new, larger environment. The birth of the baby is kind of like what I was just describing about that little kitchen plant, right? That the baby needs to be repotted or needs to be transplanted into a more suitable environment. That process is not much different than a man or a woman having an idea for a business venture. The idea comes into the mind, either finds receptive soil, in quotes, or not, and starts to grow or not. Because we receive thoughts many, many times a day, it wouldn't be possible for us to grow each one of those into a physical form, into a physical reality. We're not going to be able to manifest every single idea that we have. We wouldn't have enough time. We wouldn't have enough resources or energy. Frankly, we wouldn't have enough interest in the process to continue it for every idea. The entrepreneur or the inventor or the designer would notice that the idea arrived and which one really excites them, excites their interest. And then they would be inspired to assemble more energy in order to grow this. That seed thought becomes the one that he or she is willing to add energy to on a consistent basis so that it grows. For some people, and I've heard of this even occurring in children who know what their future is going to be, like a 5-year-old child. When I grow up, I want to be, and not a cowboy or an Indian or a fireman or a policeman, you know, but some really defined concept they already know. Sounds to me as though they arrive with that agenda into this lifetime. But these people that have a single idea, then they that grabs their attention and fuels their intention. Need to have those two. Need to have those two things in order to grow something into physical reality. So people who have that single idea, that one purpose, and devote their energies to it, very clear to them this process. But I think most of us are more like the second scenario. We're going to have many more than one idea that really has this exciting, inspiring, wow, I'm really, really interested in this kind of idea. Wanting to be, to have, to do, to have many ideas is problematic. Kind of like an apple tree that has too many blossoms that have become fertilized or You might be familiar with this. A family with too many children. A person with too many fertile ideas can be misled into diluting the energy flow so much that the fruits are small and stunted. The children are undernourished physically, emotionally, mentally, even spiritually. And the business ideas that come, you know, dime a dozen, it's easy, ideas are plentiful. It's being able to grow them. That's where the money is. And those business ideas that are stunted because there are so many different directions that one could devote their attention and intention and energies are too feeble to withstand what is going to be the, I'll say, harsh climate of a business environment. You know, things really require a lot of energy to be committed to them in order for them to not fall by the wayside. A valuable lesson was taught to me many years ago by an uncle-in-law when he taught me how to prune fruit trees one winter. We started out with apple trees and then moved on to peach, pear, cherry, plum trees. And finally we finished in the grape arbor and working on the grapevines. On the first day, I actually felt as I was getting ready up in the tree to start pruning an apple tree that I was going to be hurting the tree itself, making decisions, snipping off, ending a form of life expression that might have occurred if I didn't have those shears in my hand. So as I snipped away, I was like, ooh, ow, ooh, ooh, I wondered if I were doing a good thing or a bad thing. But pretty soon, I understood that if too many blossoms became fertilized and grew, it was a common problem for too many apples to grow on a branch and too much weight to be on the branch. And so now, if there was a heavy rain or a wind or something, the weight of those apples on that branch end up breaking the branch off the tree. That break in the skin, in the bark of the tree, leads to infection. The infection that penetrates through that open wound due to the heavy weight of the apples breaking the branch end up killing the trees. But the most common problem, though, was that if the tree and the branches had to supply a huge amount of energy through a relatively small branch to a whole lot of apples that needed it, that because of the demand, it was so great and the need was so great that the apples tend to be small, tend to be weak, tend to be blemished, and even prone to infection or blight. In other words, the many apples would be weak, whereas in a prune tree, the apples would be larger, stronger, fewer, and healthier. It took discipline to prune that first tree. It became easier with the rest because my understanding of the need for this pruning process grew. It became greater and greater. And I recognized I was actually benefiting the tree, benefiting the fruit, and was not doing it harm. If we as individuals are going to grow, it makes sense that we are going to want to invest time in deciding what we want to grow to be, do, and have. We're also going to want to decide not only the what, but the why we wanted those things. And where is this growing going to take place? And then we could add, when is the growing going to start in earnest? So I talked about what, why, where, and when. My opinion is the how of growing, I think that's much better left to divine consciousness because, frankly, I think that's too complex for human thinking. That's outside of the capabilities that we have. So we'll just allow that to occur based upon what we've done up to this point. Right now in the climate in the world, and certainly in the United States, this is very relevant, that there are a lot of baby boomers nearing retirement age. And so the same decisions and the same questions that 20-year-old kids face are now being dealt with again. What do I want to do? What do I want to be when I grow up? that question could be changed slightly to, who and what do I want to grow to be, to do, and to have? To be, do, and have anything, we have to grow. To grow is to learn. To learn is to grow. Learning and growing, growing and learning, are about the effective use of the information energy that can flow to us. We can draw it from divine consciousness, we can draw it from other resources, but ultimately the source of it is divine consciousness. Here's a scenario. One person asks another person about a plant. Is it growing? Answer, no. Is it dying? Answer, no. It's dormant. It's a bulb, and it's wintertime. The good news is for people that we can change the, quotes, climate we find ourselves in. Not only can we move geographically, but even easier and faster is the act of changing our personal environments. What do I mean by personal environments? Well, I'm thinking in terms of personal environments are the space around us and the way we manage it. I've talked in previous Sunday talks about matter, energy, space, and time. When you really look at it, life is about managing matter, energy, space, and time. If you consider matter, energy, space, and time as being part of our personal environment, we go, okay, I understand I need to manage that. Exactly. The stuff around us you need to manage, the energy flows that you experience you need to manage, the space you find yourself in, whether that's in your car, in your home, in your office, out in your yard, and the time. We tend to agree on 24 hours a day as the normal unit broken down into those hours. Managing all of that is key to us creating this new split persona of who we want to be. The energy flows that we're giving and the energy flows that we're receiving are the other factors in our personal environments that cause us to either grow, to be dormant, or even to die. Who talks to you? What energies do they shower you with? Who do you talk to? What energies do you shower them with? Are these energies conducive to growth? Are they warm, loving, supportive? Or are they more like a cold winter wind? Are they gentle? Or are they bruising and rough? In Christ Returns, Reveal Startling Truth, Christ encourages us to cleanse our consciousness of certain vibrations and attitudes. Imagine these behaviors as energy flows that damage our personal environment and those of other people. How could growth and development occur in the same place as criticism, sarcasm, judgmentalism, rejection, denigration, enmity, intolerance, hatred, jealousy, aggression, violent impulses, thieving, falsehood, double and devious dealings, and slander? You can tell those energies are poisonous, right? If those energies are coming from other people, those other people are not your friends. If those energies are coming from you, you're not a friend. Even worse, if those energies are being shot at you by you, you are your own worst enemy. You are the single biggest barrier to success at being, doing, and having whatever it is you want. Okay, we now know what it means about changing the climate in our personal environment. It's simple to describe, not that easy to do. Takes some work, obviously. And as we work to habitualize these new ways of expressing energy, we're going to want to determine the direction of our energies. In other words, what fruit will we bear? We are going to split in two if we're going to learn and grow. The question is, how do we know which direction to grow in? Here are several ways to determine a direction for you to grow in. Number one, consider your intelligences. Years ago, we were brought up with the idea that intelligence was simply IQ, end of story. Take a test. Depending on you, did it, you were smart or not. However, over the last 30 or so years, it's been recognized that there are multiple intelligence. That IQ test is a very narrow way of looking at intelligence, and in fact, incredibly unfair. So if you think in terms of musical intelligence and physical intelligence and spatial intelligence and social intelligence, a total of about 7 of these different intelligences are widely agreed upon today. And if you recognize those, and you can look at yourself and compare them to those descriptions of those multiple intelligences, you will know what your strengths are. What your strengths are is another way of saying what you're inclined to do, what you're good at, what is fun for you to do. Whatever work you decide to do, you're going to want to include your strengths, your intelligences. I recommend that you Google on this phrase, multiple intelligences, and that'll help you understand it, because you'll get a whole bunch of sites and you'll recognize the guy who started this whole thing, and then you could read about it, and then you'll have a better understanding and perhaps a better acceptance of your strengths. Besides considering your intelligence, you could try this. Point two, solve your problem. You can look at your life's conditions to see where improvement is most needed. If you look at these areas, and I sometimes use the 12 worlds as a way to describe it, the spiritual world, mental, emotional, physical world, family world, career, financial world, social, leisure, community, political, and maintenance. You can look at those as if they're circles of activity, and which one is causing the most disruption to your life, the most turmoil, the most dis-ease to you. That would be a good indication that when you previously split in regard to some element that was involved in that world, you chose ineffectively. In most cases, that stunted growth of the persona that you made in regard to that area is really due to a lack of understanding. What's a lack of understanding? Lack of information. A lack of information energy, because either we didn't get it, we didn't understand it, we skipped that class, our family of origin didn't discuss stuff like that, or we inadequately nourished ourselves with that vibration. We just made up our minds, I'm not good at that. And that was it. We pruned the energy flow. We blocked the energy flow. And a lot of times, incorrectly, based upon judgment. It was, whoops, I cut something off. And I had that experience when I was pruning. Every once in a while, in my haste, I pruned something that I shouldn't have pruned. You go, By looking at your problems and solving it gives you an idea of direction of energy flow. The third thing is, notice your interests. Christ, in letter number one of Christ's Returns, Reveals Startling Truth, outlines what divine consciousness revealed to him when he was in the desert after being baptized by John. And he got that divine consciousness felt the following things were important for it to deliver to its creations. Jesus called this the truth of existence. And the truth of existence contains these 9 items: growth, nutrition and nourishment, healing, protection, fulfillment of need, work, survival, rhythm, all within a spiritual system of law and order, the law of cause and effect, or we know it better as we reap what we sow. Those 9 items. If you look at these 9 items and notice which of those interest you more than the others, now all of a sudden you start to get, wait a minute, this is a clue. Because God works for us and in us, what items are most important to you immediately? What, if God were delivering something, what sequence would this delivery of these 9 items be? Healing? Protection? Fulfillment of need? Nutrition and nourishment? Hungry person is going to go, nutrition and nourishment, yeah, that's numero uno on my list. But other people are going to make other choices. Growth? Work? All of these are important to all of us. So now it's a question of what is immediately important to you. If it's immediately important to you, your job is to know that and then secondarily become more receptive, because God is seeking to deliver this to us. It's not God is not a good deliverer. We're not that good at receiving oftentimes. Our misunderstandings, our erroneous beliefs, our cellular memories, our beliefs in undeservingness and sin and so on make us think we're disqualified from the better things in life. That is not true. And because God works through us, not only for us and in us, but through us, what items out of the truth of existence are you most willing to receive, add your own unique value to based upon your own experiences, your wisdom, your knowingness, and you'd be willing and able to express this to other people? God is going to show up in other people's lives. God is going to use us. If God is going to show up in our lives, God is going to deliver awareness and use other people to deliver awareness to us. You will be receiving ideas that have value. If you open up to it, as you do the healing codes, you do prayer, you do meditation, you will be receiving ideas that are valuable. You're going to add your unique value, and then you're going to make it available to other people. The fourth way of giving direction to your energy flows when you're trying to make a determination, what do I and who do I want to be, do, and have as I continue my life, is what energy forms are you willing to give to others? What energy forms? Personally, I like to work with energy forms we call ideas. I'm not good at, and actually I don't enjoy construction or the crafts that are associated with building or automobiles. I can't make a living as a singer or a musician or an airline pilot. I wouldn't be a good cook or a baker. But you know what? I could be a dishwasher. I can bring order to dirty dishes. I can make them clean. I can make them dry. And I can put them in stacks, in cabinets, as needed. So, I certainly have that capability. So who is going to encourage you? Who's going to cheer you on? Who's going to coach you as you decide on the split that you want to be, do, and have? Who's going to care for you? Who's going to nurture you? As you go from this delicate, I'll say, newly split persona to the robust success that you can be, and who, later on, is going to be making another decision about the next major split in your life. Who is going to be the person that shepherds this whole process over and over and over again in your life? You are. You are. You will do this or you will fail. If you're not your cheerleader, your coach, your encourager, your nurturer, your carer, you're going to fail, because other people have that job of doing it for themselves. They don't have the capability to do it. You know why? Because 1 hour of coaching, 1 hour of cheerleading a week is no match for the hours and hours and days of destructive self-talk that so many people find it habitual to engage in. We want to control the climate of our personal space, kind of like a nurse who might control the temperature and the humidity and the comfort in the incubator of a new baby, newborn baby's situation. You splitting to become who you want to be, do, and have, is that person is just as deserving of loving care as a newborn baby, and just as dependent on it, too. The difference, though, between you and the newborn baby is you can learn to draw support from divine consciousness. You can ask for, you can reach out in thought and feeling to divine consciousness and ask for the enlightenment of this awareness. And when it arrives, you know what next to be, to do, and to have. I would like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from letter 8 in the book Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal, loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness. And as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.